Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to the PW Torch live cast for Friday, January 22nd, 2016. If you're on the East Coast, as I am, as Travis Bryant, co-host is of this show, hopefully you're safe. Everything's cool, kind of quiet because of all the snow here. But this, of course, is the Royal Rumble weekend, second biggest show of the year, usually for WWE. Lots of questions, maybe some answers at the Royal Rumble. On Friday night, we'll talk about all of this. PW Torch livecast, speaking of talking, Sean Waltman, X-Pac, had a 2.5-hour conversation with Wade Keller yesterday about all kinds of things in wrestling. Wade said this is one of the most frank conversations that he's had publicly with Sean Waltman, including the story of Sean Waltman standing at the gorilla position last time Monday Night Raw was in Philadelphia, and the reaction that Roman Reigns got and what that meant to management for that. We'll see where everything. I'm interested in a couple of questions from everybody. Of course, we've got a great lineup of callers, a great lineup of folks that contribute to the show every Friday, and we encourage you to become part of that lineup. If you are online and you want to be on, remember to click that one so that it shows up here on the board, and we can get to what I'm interested in. One of the things I'm interested in is, who do you think, of course, obvious question, who do you think is going to win the Royal Rumble Friday, 2 days away from the Royal Rumble, and who would you like to see win the Royal Rumble? We'll see where that is. I'd like to see Travis Bryant win the Royal Rumble. Travis, how's everything in Philadelphia?
What's happening, Bruce? Livecast audience, what up? I mean, it's okay. I just, still, snow-free here. I just got back from the supermarket, and not because, the snow's coming, so gotta get milk and eggs. No, that's stupid. The snow always comes. It's because I had the struggle fridge for the last week, and I haven't eaten sushi and pizza and takeout for like 2 weeks, wasting a ton of money. I could have just went grocery shopping. And of course, when I finally decide, I can't go the weekend without some food, I go shopping today. And it was like a major experience.
I can identify with that because I think when you're the single guy, when you're the bachelor or whatever it is, you live by yourself and all that, you have a different rhythm than family.
Well, my brother lives with me
most
now,
normal people.
And it's even worse.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He eats stuff. And it's like, son of a bitch.
Oh, good Lord.
Like, I went to, how dare he eat and sustain himself. But, I go, it's got to be some granola cereal left or a burger in the freezer. Nope. Last one, gone. Can't count on anything being there.
But I know that, sometimes, in something like this, I'll shop for something that I need. I'll go in and go, the rest of the universe is in here because it's going to snow, or the rest of the universe is going to...
I didn't understand that. I saw so many people in there, Bruce, with, a handful of things or a basket. Like, what are you doing in here getting five things and there's 6,000 people in this one supermarket? Go to the Poppy store.
Yeah, that's
or
me.
Do without until the morning. Well, I guess it'll be snow, but still, geez.
I sound like I have it all together, but I woke up this morning and there's about 6 inches of snow on the ground. I mean, everybody expected it, and it's sleeting and all this stuff, and it's really ominously quiet, which means that no one's on the roads, which means that everything is locked up tight. And I live in this neighborhood with diners and restaurants and all this kind of stuff. Not as cool as that neighborhood you lived in, but still, it's there. And all of a sudden, it hit me. I have nothing in this house to eat, nothing in this house to drink except water. I'm just like, I paid no attention, even though I knew. And I got home yesterday, and it's just I rely on diner food or whatever. So I had when I got out in it, it was okay, and I was able to luckily feed myself. I think I would have survived for a day or two with what's in here, but yeah, it's always interesting how, some people grow up, and I've grown up in some ways, in other ways I need to improve my game. So it's fine. It's cool. And it's awfully pretty, so we'll see. I mean, we didn't get anywhere near, I guess, what DC got or what other people were expecting. So, and it did affect the wrestling world. There was a Ring of Honor show 3 hours away from here that was canceled, and folks are scrambling around for some things. But and of course, NXT in Florida, I guess tonight wasn't affected by this very much.
Yeah, because the pay-per-view's in Orlando, right? The Rumble.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be.
So, we'll see. The NFC Championship game is in Charlotte, but plenty of snow, but it's the NFL. They're playing. So, who do you think is going to win at this late date, the Royal Rumble? There's odds makers that are pointing at Triple H. The three, the obvious ones, Triple H, Roman Reigns, and Brock Lesnar. I guess odds makers having them in that order.
I think I've got to go Triple H. I thought maybe Roman holds on to it, but I'm not sure. You do all of this to have Roman come through. I mean, I think the odds and the length of the match. The different amount of people that can serve up punishment on another one person. You know, it's just too much. And if Roman comes through it, I just look at that like you're not Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair, skinning the cat. And just think of where they were in their careers in 92 for Flair and what, 94? Five. Michaels won twice, right? Maybe just
right.
Once. I don't remember. I'm just thinking of one where Bulldog thought he won, and then Michaels came back and knocked him out. But he came in second, so the whole run in the gauntlet thing, that's why I bring Flair and Michaels up. He's not there in his career. It's one of those impossible things for those two. And they did it, and they came through it, and it was triumphant or heelish or whatever. Roman's not there as a solidified. People have not seen him long enough. Just time on air, 3 years, and I can't see him pulling that off. It's just like, what a put on. That's just going to make people. That's all. Flair, you're like, oh yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Does he get knocked out of the ring and lay there for several minutes at a time? What do they do? Is his in-ring work to the point where he can work with guys and do things that people will accept? You'd figure he's going to be in there for, 50 plus minutes to get to whatever finish they're going to have. It's got to involve him at the
I
end
don't even,
too. So
Bruce,
how they get around?
I'm
how
not
they
sure,
get around that?
I'm not sure. I even like him coming down to the final four or even six.
Really?
And yeah, getting knocked out. If he at the 22 minute mark, going in, so 38 minutes in or however that works, gets eliminated and I don't want just a guy to come behind him and just scoop him up and dump him out. It needs to be a big deal, and someone doing it has to launch into something else. I just, whether it's Triple H or, that storyline, somebody in that angle. But I don't know. I just, it just seems very just put on. I keep coming back to that. Just like, what a put on. He can't do that. He's not good enough to do that. And now I'm thinking about, oh, it's because it's all crap anyway.
Well, I mean, I guess I could see, instead of Triple H being in the Royal Rumble, Triple H coming out and pulling him out of the ring at the 22-minute mark, and they get in a fight, and that eliminates him, and then I guess that leaves Brock Lesnar, but then who's with Brock Lesnar to, I don't know. That's going to be – I hadn't considered him. I just really assumed he's going to be in the beginning. He's going to be there at the end. He can win or not win, but whatever big angle that they would have would come at the end, and it would have something to do with him.
I don't think –
That's interesting.
There's no, he's not going, there's not, that's not going to happen. What I just said is just absolutely not going to happen.
Right.
Because they need, they're, he has to be in that, if he's not in that title picture at WrestleMania, that's, you know, it's probably a failure on their part, they think. I mean, even though they have full control and all that, I just think if he's, if they go, nope, nope, we can't, after all this, after a year, more than a year, going back to last WrestleMania and Royal Rumble last year, after all this time, 18 months or so of this super push, mega push, and he can't, he doesn't even main event Mania.
I can't imagine that either. I mean, that's, you know, this is the game we're in, whether they've won it or lost it. And again, Wade talked to Waltman and he got a real sense of how WWE feels they're doing with Roman Reigns, but they're still in the Roman Reigns game for sure.
I think Triple H wins and then Roman Reigns beats him in Dallas.
For the title, it's his third time's a charm leading into
WrestleMania 32. That would be my, I wouldn't, but that's the slogan I'd use.
Editor publisher Wade Keller and I talked for more than 2 hours this afternoon, and a good bit of it was about this and about the Royal Rumble for the Bruce Mitchell audio show, which either is up now or is about to be put up. So everybody can kind of get their, along with this show, get their Royal Rumble thing going. I opened the chat room, Travis. So if anyone's wanting to chat, I have been doing that. I can't tell whether anyone's chatting or not. But anyway, if anyone wants to chat during the portion of the show, they're certainly welcome to. You think we'll see AJ Styles on, Sunday night, or will they wait till Monday to bring him out? Or, I mean, that's the two options I think they have. I mean, they could also wait till some other time.
Yeah, what if he's at the Rumble and not in the Rumble?
Huh. I thought about that. I figured if he's at the Rumble, then he comes out, he's a special attraction, comes in for the Rumble.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of different things.
Yeah.
Or both. He shows up.
Or both.
In the first hour. And backstage, you could even do a whole I don't see them doing it, but you could even have the announcers. There's been heavy speculation and rumors about the, people might show up, superstars we haven't seen before, international, that kind of thing.
No,
even though it's not a Raw, or save that for Raw and just keep that, if you can do a number with AJ, but what if they do, and then he gets some of that credit of it not just being a... I don't know. They can do it. There's so many ways they could, so many different things. I'm actually just thinking out loud. I don't think that's a...
Right.
Very good point.
So, all right. You ready to hit some phone calls?
Yeah, let's talk to some folks.
All right. Let's go to our friend Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, Royal Rumble weekend.
How y'all doing today?
Doing fine.
Staying warm, I hope.
Absolutely.
Okay. Bruce and Trav, I wanted to ask, do you think Daniel Bryan is trying to make up a case so he can either get released or something with all the rumors of him going to another doctor and getting cleared to wrestle or whatever they're saying? That's my first
question. I talked with Wade about this, again, Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, but he's not cleared by WWE, and he wasn't in Pittsburgh to see their doctors. Of course, he saw some doctors in UCLA that said that he would be all right to go. I don't think he can get released. I think the WWE is in complete control of that, and they can keep him if they want to for as long as they want to. Will they Will they change their minds? It's a really complicated issue because there's a concussion lawsuit out, a class action concussion lawsuit out involving WWE, and it's, you know, one of the great issues in pro wrestling, one of the great issues in any kind of contact sports, and we'll see where that is. But I can see where people, you know, they think there's some movement or something, but I don't know that there is. I'm also just a big believer, if all of a sudden there was a magic wand and Daniel Bryan could be in the Royal Rumble, he should not be in the Royal Rumble. I mean, you know, 2 years ago was that fiasco where he was,
unless he wrestled
Bray Wyatt.
Unless he wins.
Exactly.
Win,
and he's not going to win, like, coming out there, because that's what people expected. And you know, 2 years ago, they got that.
Poor
Rey
Mysterio.
That was just... Poor Mysterio. It's been poor Batista. That was just really tough. So, you know, and even last year, Reigns won.
Not poor Batista. I mean, yeah, he just didn't help himself in all of that. But Rey, he did nothing but be Rey Mysterio and come out in last, where people realize, all right, that was it. So it was a little more sympathy for Rey.
But, yeah, so if you know, and last year, Daniel Bryan was in the Royal Rumble, and he just kind of, you know, he came out, people were excited to see him. You know, finally they were going to get the justice of, he was, you know, he won his WrestleMania match, he'd had his WrestleMania, now he was going to win the Royal Rumble that was owed him, and then he got thrown out pretty early on, and that, I think that didn't help matters with getting over Roman Reigns at the end of the night. Even Rock couldn't quite get him over. Now, of course, all these things come with the Royal Rumble, the special appearances, are we going to see international stars? Are we going to see AJ Styles? Are we going to see legends from the past? You'd expect to see somebody. What kind of angle comes out of the main event? All that kind of stuff. Lots of stuff to talk about. 11:30 Eastern Time, we right here on blogtalkradio.com, post Rumble call-in show. We've got great callers that call in for this. So if you're... I imagine most people listening to this, if they downloaded it or if they're listening live, are going to be watching the Rumble. So if you've got some things to get off your chest, right here, 11:30 with James Caldwell. And
you're just ecstatic and out of your mind, I'm happy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, get that off your chest, too. I honestly didn't mean it that way, but yeah, you've got a point, the way I've plugged it. So, be sure and listen. And, of course, you can download the show, too, and do that. Also, for VIP members, this is a little thing, but Wade and I did a 15-minute, 20-minute show on Tuesday to be a little more topical, a little quicker on my reactions to what happens on Raw. So look for that, a little extra bonus show that people can listen to and watch. So they can't watch it. Well, you can
Wade
watch
it
all you want to.
A snippet, but that's not – a snippet is a piece of a larger thing, not just a small thing. So.
Well, yes.
No,
that's true. You're right, and you need to, Wade needs to be more precise in what he says. I completely agree with you. Yeah. It's his fault. So,
totally.
Yeah.
Especially when he expects that from others.
Yeah.
And he does.
I just got a message. Tell Travis to blank off.
Right.
Starts with a P, not an F, though, so I give him credit. A little bit of restraint there. I have to say that was that message was direct and grammatically correct and right there. It didn't misuse the English language there, so pretty good. So, Darrell, you have anything? We kind of got sidetracked there. Do you have anything else for us?
Okay, one other thing. Who are your NFL picks for? Both of you guys, NFL picks for the weekend, and I heard you guys. Picks for who you think could win the Rumble, but who is your top legitimate dark horse that could possibly win? And let's say if we do get an appearance by Bryan and AJ Styles, what do you think that changed the outcome to how fans take the Rumble? And can you see them also changing you have anything different?
Yeah. All right, make your NFL picks, Travis.
Carolina, and Denver.
Oh, wow.
I want to see my favorite quarterback go against since I was like a teen, like in high school and got to college, like 18 or so, Peyton Manning. He's been my guy since he was at Tennessee. And my new favorite quarterback, Cam, who was my guy when he was at Auburn. You know, both number one picks, both. So personally, I want to see that. I don't like the Patriots at all, so I them in the face.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
Carolina and Denver.
I am the classic Fairweather fan when it comes to the Panthers. I mean, I follow them, but I don't live or die whether they win or lose. And this year I've just really enjoyed this run. I've really enjoyed seeing Cam Newton improve, and it's really cool. I'm hoping just keep going. I think that this year has been win the game that's right in front of you. I think that's going to be a tight game, and God knows that game with the Packers.
And I think that second half from the Seahawks game kind of gave, you know, it's one of those we won, but we were kind of got humbled and realized, like, oh, it's not, we're not.
Well, they've been doing that all year. They've been getting leads and then kind of hanging on to win. But I thought they had control of that game. I mean, I wasn't surprised
for the
comeback. But, geez, that first half, they were just, you just thought, you know, call it all off and give them the trophy now. I mean, that was incredible. So, that was there. I think Brady's going to win. I think Peyton. I think the difference is that Denver's got the defense, but Peyton's smart and canny and all that, but he doesn't have the arm now, and so you know, we'll see. None of that's very controversial. That's pretty much.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I saw him throw a ball over 25 yards.
I mean, I think the only people that like the Patriots are Patriots fans, but yeah. But yeah, I kind of agree with that. My dark horse pick, okay, I'll give a dark horse pick, and I don't believe in dark horse picks for this with WWE. But my dark horse pick would be AJ Styles if he wanted to take a new guy that could handle the load and shoot him to the top and have him win the Royal Rumble and shake up the world. They're not going to do that, but I mean that would be my dark horse pick.
I'd say I don't know. I go with Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Safe. They'd get that shake up the world kind of. It wouldn't be as monumental and as unexpected and unbelievable if AJ were he's not coming in anytime soon, Shinsuke. But if Dean did it, they'd be like, oh no, we'll get that same, and it would, but it'd be to a lesser extent, and people would go nuts, and it would be like, holy crap. Ambrose is going to main event WrestleMania. And then in the call-in show after, you know, with James and Pat or James and Greg, people would be like, so AJ's in the title match at WrestleMania. Or no, he's the champion. Crap. That throws that. No, sorry. That
oh, that's right, man. Talk about
thing
shit
I was
got
building
to
up.
Yeah.
I'm thinking,
yeah.
Never mind.
That's right.
So. Forget everything I just said. We said violence in school, not violins. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Speaking of something that rhymes with that, Kylan from New Jersey is up next on the PW Torch livecast. Is the snow gotten to you, Kylan?
No, it is not snowing here as of yet.
Yeah, all you guys got it. It's in Maryland. My friend is telling me it's snowing there, and you got snow last night or overnight. Here we're good, and obviously in North Jersey they're still dry. So we'll probably get it before you, Kylan. So the way it's working.
Yeah, we're not scheduled to get anything until tomorrow morning.
Okay. All right. So what's up? What's on your mind?
To continue our conversation from Wednesday, Travis, if you'll recall, I mentioned that Austin Aries was in Pittsburgh last week to take his pre-signing medical test.
Yeah, I think I know where you're going with this.
Well, I cannot confirm that Austin Aries is at the University of Central Florida for tonight's first NXT taping for this set of tapings. They're going to have one tonight and then another one tomorrow night.
One? They just tape one show at a time?
Well, this is the first set of four shows, if you know what I mean.
Sure, no, I got you. Yeah, Austin Aries is one of those things. He's the guy I said is going to show up in NXT, guaranteed, at some point in time. I didn't think it would happen until later in this year, 2016, like after maybe leading up to the SummerSlam or around that time, middle of the year, towards the end of the year. But he showed up in Pittsburgh, got his physical, and is now...
Any chance he shows up at the Royal Rumble, guys?
No. He's no AJ Styles.
For the record, he hasn't officially signed his deal yet, but he is very close.
So unless he's probably not going to be on these tapings then, unless he signs at the show or sometime tonight and is on the second half of the. Of TV, but I'm not sure if you, I guess you could change something if you got a jobber match or something, but you can fit them in to get a 3 or 4 minute segment intro and squash match. But you would think NXT, the creative staff at NXT, has these tapings taped, written down, drawn up. Everyone knows at least, you know, the skeleton of what they'll be doing. It seems like they do things the opposite way of how Monday Night Raw is run and SmackDown main roster stuff. They do what has been done for 80 years leading up to whenever Raw started flying by the seat of their pants, as they like to brag. So anything to that they should have all their stuff mapped out, and if he's not signed, then maybe we'll have to wait 6 weeks till we see him on air.
I would think so.
The article that I just read said that he is quote expected to make his debut tonight. Now it didn't say. It didn't say whether he was actually working a match or not, but
that's a good point. He could do an intro promo interview with JoJo or some, one of those people. Frank, what's his name? The other announcer, classes. Can't think of his name. Sorry.
Rich Brennan.
Rich Brennan. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, so again, if he's not signed at this moment, and he literally signs tonight at the show, at the taping, or sometime before the, tomorrow afternoon, morning, afternoon, before the next set, the second half of the tapings, they could introduce him and with a promo. That is, I'm acting like they can't squeeze him in somewhere. They definitely could if they wanted to. They were bent on introducing him. At least in some way. And then in 6 weeks we see him wrestle. Or a month, 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe not 6 weeks.
So Kylan, who's your pick to win the Royal Rumble?
I'm just gonna go with the obvious choice and go Roman Reigns, but sadly for him, he's not the person that I really want to win.
And who's that?
Who do you want to win?
Unfortunately, the person who's probably not even going to be there, Daniel Bryan, but...
Well, who do you want to win that's there?
I've got to go either Roman or Brock.
He just said he wasn't the guy, so we'll take Brock as your official.
I don't really want them to, but they're the two most obvious baby face choices that one could pick, so.
Yeah, this is true. All right, Kyle, appreciate the call. Appreciate the update on, now I'm doing it, what's it say, so.
Off the air.
I think it's because we're going to have a fairly new caller to Friday, the degenerate gambler, Daniel, who cheated me out of beers this summer. How's it going? I know you're not worried about the snow.
No, sir. We're out of the snow. I don't know where I keep getting disparaged, and as a loyal customer on this program, month after month.
Right.
But I was actually calling because a couple things had me excited this week. The first one, I do have some sources about Waterloo, not about Battle Royals, but about some of the folks that are going to be there, and it's really going to be a fun year this year. And the idea that Mr. Travis Bryant will be joining us and correcting late on his grammar is extremely exciting, and just really looking forward to that. So I'm hoping you guys will all be there as I'm hearing as possible in late July.
Yeah, of course, you're talking about the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in Waterloo, Iowa, and their Hall of Fame inductions. Last year they inducted editor-publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch, pwtorch.com, Wade Keller. And got to meet you there and some other folks and had a great time. And it's an amazing experience. And this year, Wrestling Observer publisher, writer, editor Dave Meltzer is inducted in. And both of those were long overdue, in Wade's phrase. And it's cool to see. So, yeah, it ought to be a real special occasion.
Yeah, and of course, as you know, I'd echo that. I think that it's great they're finally making that a little bit more legitimate. Not that there's been some very legitimate people that have won that Melby Award, and certainly, but this is a really nice step. The other thing I'm really excited about this week is the news on New Japan with Jim Ross coming aboard. And I don't know if you heard any of his comments or interviews this week, but I'm just really excited to kind of hear the way he's responded to that. I think maybe he might be a little less worried about saying things that irritate people in WWE from going forward, which doesn't bother me in the least. And I think he and Josh Barnett are going to be phenomenal on that show, although Mauro and Josh were already phenomenal. So I just those two things I'm really excited about. And then you guys kind of depressed me about the Royal Rumble. So I had a question about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be really interesting. And you knew that they were talking to Ross, that New Japan was talking to Ross about this job. The interesting thing to me is, in the past, much like used to work with Hulk Hogan, whenever Jim Ross would get close to a job like this, he'd get pulled back into the fold a little bit with WWE. I didn't expect him to come back to announce, but I expected them to make some sort of deal with him or do something, and that didn't take place, and he's going to be there. And, yeah, it's going to be a really interesting scenario with Mauro Ranallo on SmackDown as the number two WWE announcer, I guess, and, upstaging Michael Cole, upstaging the incumbents in WWE, and then Jim Ross with a partner and a product that he can, with a partner that does a great job, and then in Josh Barnett, and then a product he can just sink his teeth into that is arguably stronger, and just for an hour, a stronger wrestling product and a stronger wrestling show. I think that's going to be. I think some of the dynamics of that are going to get really fun. Ross is very smart and very protective of keeping opportunities in front of him with WWE. But yeah, it'd be interesting if he lets loose a little bit on that show too. It could very much make it a even more of a much watch show for wrestling fans.
Now, Bruce, you I think kind of loosely speculated, maybe just flat out, speculated that. When WWE perceives a threat, a television threat, the Lucha Underground, you're on American cable, relatively easily accessed channel and thing, okay, well, here, and we are going to do things to okay, well, you're in the game now. And, you know, so when we take someone and sign them and give them $1.5 million to then flop and around like a friggin' fish, you know, that's what their game is. That's what they do. That's they see it, and they before it can get before it can that threat can do any real damage, they take care of it. You kind of said the same thing about Ronaldo coming over from New Japan, and that show on Access TV is getting all these rave reviews, and that Wrestle Kingdom's talked about. At Wrestle Kingdom 9 last year especially was talked about better than WrestleMania and all that kind of stuff, and Vince was like, well, and went after Ronaldo for that reason, and that reason alone, at least that reason for the majority. Any chance that they took kind of shot themselves in the foot by doing that, because then here comes JR
Well, I think there was more than just. It's definitely part of getting Mauro Ranallo, but also he was a guy that had, you know, his dream job was to work as a play-by-play announcer in WWE, and you know, lifetime fan, lifetime student of WWE. So he, when they, you know, and you know, the story was when they saw him call, you know, this corporate, what was it, this corporate
Warren
wrestling
Buffett.
Match deal. For Warren Buffett, that was the clincher for Vince McMahon, that he could handle the what Vince McMahon considered the entertainment part of sports entertainment. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that was part of it. Take it away, give SmackDown something to hang its hat on moving to USA, which that's been the only thing. It's pretty much the same SmackDown show. It's just with him and with better play-by-play, with better announcing all over, all around. And so, you know, that's kind of where, you know, that's there. But yeah, I mean, that's interesting where Jim Ross fits in the psychology of Jim Ross's relationship with WWE and with Vince McMahon, and how they're going to take to all that. And yeah, it's you know, are they going to be irked and you know, look at pulling out some more, you know, some more talent out of New Japan, or are they going to compete, as you said, yeah, it could be. Travis, I'm going to make a plug, and then I want you to plug your stuff.
Yeah.
So this just came across the wire. There is a new PWTorchLivecast.com homepage. Look for it debuting this weekend. And, of course, PWTorchLivecast.com is there for folks to download this show, download the livecast, including Sunday night at 11:30 after the Royal Rumble, and particularly all the Thursday Torch interview days. And as we said, an excellent interview with Sean Waltman, X-Pac, and Wade Keller about everything in WWE that went on there. So lots of new, you know, there's been yeoman's work done in resetting the website. It's beautiful. It's a lot. It's really cool to get around on. Lots of stuff to look at for VIP members, and then the website for other folks who are interested in being VIP members. Of course, pwtorch.com/goVIP, and I hope I got that right, so I don't get yelled at. And another place to get material and content from PW Torch, pwtorchlivecast.com homepage. Click over, check during the weekend, and see, because it's debuting this weekend, and you know, the go-to place to get content from PW Torch if you are not VIP member.
I just got a sneak preview of said page.
How's it look? I would go over there, but I'm afraid everything would crash and I'd hit the end episode button or something.
No, it's not up. He just sent me a...
Oh, he just sent you one. Okay.
He sent me a cool screenshot of some sort, yeah. So, it looks good. Looks real good. Looks like a version of the new Torch site, but but livecast related. And there's Waltman there with his face and big smile. I thought, or if anyone thought terrible at like having a terrible, but like with Wade on Mitchell Audio's, like just interrupting and not letting Wade get a word in at times. I mean, it's, you know, Waltman takes it to an entire new level. I mean, Wade's like a double dutch. You know how he's like trying to jump in and time it right? And it's like trying to get, and Waltman says the same thing like three or four times. Wade's like, well, can I, we'll see. And Sean just, steamrolls him right over. I'm like, man, Bruce isn't as terrible as I thought.
What does it say that you're laughing while you're describing that? Wade getting treated that way and getting run over, and you're taking some delight in it.
No, I was yelling at my damn steering wheel because I wanted the show to move on. Like, come on! Let the guy, he's trying to get in him. How do you not hear him? I hear him. That's awesome. It just made me appreciate the Wade-Bruce dynamic on the Mitchell Audio a lot better. Or a lot more.
Okay. So do your
it was a 2.5-hour interview. So it was a lot of.
Did you watch The Legends of Tomorrow? Doesn't that did you watch The Legends of Tomorrow? Doesn't that break in with The Flash?
It's no. The Flash was there in last year at the end of the year to kind of give that a launch and set up the characters. But there, it's an entirely different, not different universe, but it's its own show. Might do a crossover like they do with Arrow, you know, once a season. But it is its own thing.
So plug your stuff.
They reference Flash. But anyway, plugs. East Coast Cast, every Wednesday, 6:30 to beyond. Me and Cameron Hawkins of South Congress blog page host that show. And Terrell and Kylan and a whole bunch of other folks, Mike from Brooklyn, regular callers, we have a great time every week. It's fun. It's mature audiences only. EastCoastCast.com. You can find that show. East Coast Cast is, you know, you can find it on Twitter, on Facebook. And me and Cam also do a Flash podcast. You can find that on iTunes and Stitcher and SoundCloud, everywhere podcasts live. It's called the South Congress Fan by Fan Show, South Congress with a K, and you can just find that at southcongress.com, and you can directly download it, or again, just search it on iTunes in your or something in your search bar. And last night we were back, or this week we were back. We actually recorded last night for the first time in, you know, about a month since the hiatus, the holiday and New Year hiatus. They had a really, really good show, really strong comeback show, and Legends of Tomorrow was really good. We didn't get into it. We're not going to do a Legends of Tomorrow show, but that show was also good. So, yeah, so southcongress.com, Congress with a K, is the fan-by-fan podcast for CW's The Flash. So, yeah, so check it out. We're, like, highly rated on iTunes and all those places. So
that's what I hear. Speaking of Mike from Brooklyn, he's up next on PW Torch Livecast. Believe.
Hello?
Well, yes, or I know someone else from Brooklyn. Hello?
Hey, this is Romeo from Brooklyn.
Hi, Romeo. I got the Eric.
718.
Go ahead. Yes, 718. Yes, Will.
I have three questions. You want me to ask one at a time or just boom them out all at once?
Probably ask one at a time. I forget.
We'll ask one at a time. My memory's not so good.
All right, the first one, AJ Styles. I haven't heard anyone bring up this scenario. Do you see him eliminating Triple H and possibly leading to a match at either Fastlane or WrestleMania?
Holy crap, no.
No, I don't.
I just don't. Not even for you know, obvious kind of knee-jerk reasons, but, like, no, he's in the Roman Reigns business right now. Like, that's to be detoured and to be even in the Rumble. It's like, that didn't mean that much to you. Why are you willing to stop what you're doing to beat this guy up when he kind of...
Yeah, the whole storyline is Roman Reigns shouldn't have the WWE title. They want it on somebody... The authority wants it on somebody else. So, and Roman Reigns beat up Triple H. So, yeah, that's where it's going. So,
Second question. Do you think anyone in the locker room cares if Triple H wins the title?
Do they care? Yeah, they might, but they'll keep their mouth shut about it.
And third question, do you think the second spot in the Rumble is a nice spot to debut Finn Balor have the NXT champion sort of run levels with the WWE champion, maybe have them last until the Final Four or anything like that?
We might enjoy that, Romeo, but no, you can't do that. First off, you do, well, it's a Royal Rumble match, a crowd, so they would know who Finn is, cause, but it's still, it's an audience, it's Orlando, it's not exactly, you know, Northeast crowd or you know, some smarty pants crowd in Chicago or something. They just, it might not get the pop that you'd think, and it might just not, I'm not sure if that would get over, especially in that arena, that market. But it's the Rumble, and those that crowd would be the crowd that would know who Finn Balor was or is. Yeah,
I don't know. I think we might see Sami Zayn, but I'd be surprised if we saw Finn Balor. I could definitely.
And also, you don't want NXT. The Kevin Owens was a because he answered that challenge, but just like WrestleMania, don't have an NXT match at WrestleMania. No. Like on WrestleMania, like that's they shouldn't. So I'm the same with the Rumble. NXT's NXT. Any thoughts, Bruce? I thought this was some kind of. I wasn't sure how true it was, but a pretty good source, Rich from Pittsburgh, asked about it. So I'm going to assume this is real. And TNA discussed the whole AJ Styles and I guess. Gallows and Anderson, Carl Anderson, signing with them or in some kind of way they signed with them or committed in some verbal handshake way, and then a day later.
Oh yeah, if you go up, Wade and I talked about this on Bruce Mitchell Audio, but if you go on TNA's website. There's an article there's a TNA article that goes into. The negotiations that they made a strong
move towards. Oh, okay. So it was
towards,
so I hadn't, yeah, I saw a screenshot.
They made a strong move toward AJ Styles, and they said it was a handshake written agreement, which didn't make any sense, but they had an agreement with the Styles, and the Styles backed out of it.
They had merchandise and marketing stuff, like what?
Right.
Really?
And that they had, you know, and we kind of talked about the ramifications of all that. And, you know, well, I mean, if they'd had something signed, then this would not be going on. If they had a handshake deal, that's another thing. But yeah, we went into that in the second part of the audio today because it kind of just came across as we were taping the show. But you know, I mean,
that's weak, though. I mean,
you know, I just believe to the winner goes the spoils. That as far as legally everything got out, you can point a finger at AJ and go, you had a verbal agreement, a handshake, and that should be enough. If that part's true, I mean, there might be another side to all this, and very well could be. But
yeah, and there's
still,
also two other guys involved. So I know AJ's a big star, but there are two other human beings, involved in this.
And I don't know that. Yeah, so that I don't know that. I think wrestling
dimensions.
Fans are going to go, where's AJ Styles? Are there AJ Styles fans, and they're going to want to see him. They're not going to go, oh, you know, he didn't keep his word to TNA, so I'm going to be more for TNA than WWE. It's just not how things work. How things work in America, to me, you know.
Right,
to me,
and
so.
if you know, and they should know that the audience isn't going to give a crap. Why do you put that out? Why do you make yourself look like chumps?
Yeah.
And I'm getting into TNA. I watched all three.
Yeah.
Pop episodes or episodes on Pop TV, and you know I'm paying attention to the main event stuff, and you know I said talk about
the main event stuff
was
good this week. The Matt Hardy double turn with EC3, they did a good job with that, and things logically progressed at a good pace.
After Bruce, afterwards on Twitter, he was amazing. He was absolutely amazing. Like, I didn't know about it. Rich, again, a man from Pittsburgh, he co-hosts the VIP portion of the
Matt Hardy, you mean?
Matt Hardy was amazing on Twitter immediately after the show went off and talked about winning the title and the fans, you know, basically fans aren't crap. I mean, way better, way more than just, oh, fans suck, and it was Big Money Matt or the icon Matt Hardy. He's like, oh, wow. Like, he's having his edge moment, you know, his edge 05 moment that happened on him. He seems to be like, a real situation didn't happen to draw it out, but still, he's a very believable heel. And the whole, I'm set for life, I'm a multimillionaire. He's amazing. And the dominant wife, you know, the overbearing wife, add that to the mix.
Yeah, she really played it well. I mean, Rebby Scott really played it.
Yeah, really
did
in his opening promo, his opening promo with Jeff, he called himself like the elite wrestler in the world. And it was like, that's absurd. Like anybody with any kind of sound judgment goes, that's ridiculous. You're not even the elite wrestler in that company, you know, let alone the world, right? So, but he did that. He was still a babyface, and that's just definitely.
He was setting up the heel turn. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I think there's good storytelling when you look back after you see it, and you go, "Oh, I see why they did this." To me, when EC3 beat him clean in the finals of the tournament, it was kind of like, "Okay, that's a heel. What are they setting up?" And they were setting up that EC3 actually is the better wrestler, so that when Matt and Tyrus cheated him. They had to cheat him, and so that helped with both Matt being a heel and Matt knowing he had to hornswoggle the guy, and EC3 being a hero with a legitimate grudge against the guy that took the title.
I question. Like, Matt, you look back on the show in the beginning, you go, oh, that Matt with the line, and he was doing some heelish things. And the match itself, how it built and built and built, his heel tactics. He did the match was a last man standing, so he definitely had some leeway. But everything he did kind of built. It was, you know, whatever. I don't remember exactly, but everything, you know, built to the hammer, and then which was silly, and a little, you know, but then the title shot and standing over him and all that. But you didn't get to look back on Ethan Carter and go, yeah, I'll show. He was kind of being like a cool guy. Like, when they arrived at the arena, he stopped and made Tyrus open the door for him. And Tyrus had the look of, you son of a bitch. You know, like, well, and I'm looking at Tyrus like, well, that's probably why he turned. You know, he treats him like crap. You're to help, and you were born to shuck and jive. So shuck your way over and open that door for me. You know, Tyrus, or big fella. And so there weren't moments. And again, I didn't watch the show super close. I admit that. But I tried to pay attention to the main event stuff. Stop. Listen, what's going on. In a promo or interview or whatever backstage segment, and then fast forward through maybe the next thing. I tell you what, I fast forwarded through everything Beer Money did. I don't give a crap about Beer Money. I didn't give a crap.
That
about
wasn't
Beer
a good follow up.
8 years ago, I definitely
yeah. It wasn't
now.
A good. It wasn't a good follow up to getting them back up and running. It was, and part of what happened on that show was just. You know, you hope when they tape in England that they have a more enthusiastic crowd because they're going to need it. But, you know, I wasn't impressed with that. Let's go to our friend Scott in New Jersey. Scott, I guess the snow hasn't hit you guys, so.
Well, it's coming, though, Bruce and Trav. It's coming. So Kyla better be ready for that snow to come. But happy Friday, guys.
So what, you've been yelling at small children all week? Is that why you
I lost my voice, Trav. It's coming back slowly but surely, but I love to talk, so it makes it really horrible.
I think you were scolding innocent, well-behaved children because you're a mean teacher. Nah, I don't
know. They are so well-behaved, you know, right, Bruce? Especially when
Absolutely.
They're getting ready for snow, especially when they're excited for a big snowstorm.
My teacher is, too, yeah.
Can I, real quick, I don't mean to interrupt, Scott, but Rich asks, did you and Wade talk about the fact that timeline-wise, TNA essentially are admitting that they were negotiating with Anderson and Gallows while they're under New Japan contracts?
We did not. We did not. Yeah. I'm just shocked that ever goes on.
Tampering.
Never ever. But, guys, real quick, Bruce and Trav, I really was wondering, is it too late to save the Wyatts? Because I'll tell you this, I like the way they've come on strong. I said it to Wade earlier this week, and, Bruce, you mentioned it in the Tuesday update, which was great. But do you think they can rebuild them? Because I think that they could be I think Brock versus Wyatt could be really good if it's done correctly. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, Wade and I talked a good bit about the Wyatts on the audio, on the Bruce Mitchell audio show for VIP members. I think it needs more depth before you get to Bray versus Brock, but we may see that. I'm curious, was the push for the Wyatts kicking all that ass in the last 2 weeks, including Brock Lesnar's butt a couple of times, is that just getting ready for Roman and Brock to look at each other and throw out every member of the League of Nations, every member of the Wyatt family, or is it leading to more with Bray Wyatt or more with Braun Strowman against Brock Lesnar? We'll see.
Well, as crazy as it sounds, guys, could you even see if they have enough, like Undertaker Brock versus Strowman and Wyatt at WrestleMania could be a way for Undertaker to do a match, a final match without having to really do a ton of work. And, a lot of people, when that happened, when they had Hell in a Cell, I read a lot of people who said they thought Brock was going to come out to save Undertaker. Could that be a possibility?
I hadn't thought about that. I don't know. I think Undertaker, you're right. And I've kind of talked about that as far as Rock wrestling this year, putting him in a tag match. But I don't know who it would be, but I still see Undertaker wrestling a singles match. But just thinking about it, that does solve that problem a little bit. I don't know. Again, the Wyatts need to be – I think the Wyatts need to have more character work or more – we need to know what they're up to. We never get that answer. It's always on the surface. It's always on the surface with that stuff.
There was a face-off I talked about on Wednesday that could happen at the Rumble to, gauge, and I can't remember. I don't know why I brought it up if I can't even remember it. But I can't remember. But back to Matt Hardy real quick. He posted on Twitter, iconic Matt Hardy on Twitter, even though we've never got along, it was truly emotional saying goodbye to at Feistine Fight at ROH. Godspeed, Kevin. And it's Matt Hardy, a picture of Matt Hardy, shaking hands with just this huge, tub of lard guy who vaguely resembles, he's a white guy with the kind of scruffy beard and a low haircut. And he's fat. And wow? I mean, is Kevin Owens the guy you want to, match wits with like that? This could be, this could get ugly, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I would be that Kevin Owens could outwit him, I would think, Trev.
I would think so, too, but if Matt is feeling himself the last, if you just check out his Twitter from Tuesday night after the first airing of Impact, and it was just really a thing of heel beauty. I really want to put this over. I want everybody to go look at it. And he's continuing it. I question this part, calling on another guy in a whole different company and, that you can't make money with. And you have run the risk of being embarrassed and humiliated. But he's all in, it seems. And I'm all in with it. I think I'm going to get in. Yeah, getting's good.
Cool. Guys, I appreciate that.
Last question, Bruce, for you, a long, old Rumble question. When Big John Studd won in 89 and he left so quickly, What was the reason behind that? Was it all money related? Because I remember he won the Royal Rumble at 89 as a kid and got a big push, and then by WrestleMania he was already gone. And thanks, guys, have a great weekend.
You know, I actually wrote a little bit about that in a Royal Rumble column for this week's PW Torch newsletter, available at pwtorch.com VIP, pwtorchvip.com, excuse me. And what happened with John Studd was Andre the Giant was – they were finding a hard time getting opponents for him, and John Studd was one of the great Andre the Giant opponents. And they turned Studd babyface and had him win the Royal Rumble so that he could wrestle Andre the Giant as a heel. Andre was really hard to get along with at this point. It's kind of understandable because he was suffering with the effects of his body breaking down on him, and he was not getting Studd was not getting along with him, and then the money wasn't that great a success at the box office. The money wasn't that good, and Studd had his own physical problems too, in pain some, and so he just said to hell with it and went home. He'd saved enough money and all that. And unfortunately, you know, his health was not good next 5 or 6 years until he passed away of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It was really interesting. I don't think John Studd had ever been, in fact, I'm really sure of this, I don't think at any point in his career he'd ever been a babyface, and he was an odd babyface at that point. He's just not a guy. He would, by all accounts, a nice guy in real life, but he just didn't portray a wrestler that you would think would, you know, be with that. Let's go to our friend Jason. Jason in Australia, who I assume there's no snow down there, but really, I don't know.
That doesn't really snow here in Perth, Western Australia. It's 35 degrees Celsius. So I think if you equate that to the way use the degrees, it's about.
It's their summer, Bruce. So
yeah, I know.
In the future, upside down, flip, and turn inside.
I know. I'm aware of that.
And real quick, again, I hate to jump in and interrupt everybody. I only want to run a correction. Those tweets from Matt Hardy about Kevin Owens, which I thought was weird. I should have noticed when it said fight themed fight, not fight Owens fight. Those were from 2014 when Matt was a heel in ROH. So I was wondering. Yeah. So I think that was Rich, him showing me that, or him posting it was just like, oh, Matt's had this in him for a little while now. If people are yelling like, hey, no, that's old. So, anyway, hey, Jason.
Yeah, hey, Trev. Mate, I just wanted to talk about, I'm like most people, I think that Triple H will be the one to win the Royal Rumble. I'm not necessarily thinking that's a bad thing, really, with the story they're trying to tell. Like, what I see happening is that I think the final two will be Reigns and Lesnar, but I think while they're jostling, Triple H will actually come out as number 31. And eliminate both of them. And I think what will end up happening is it'll be Reigns and Triple H at Fastlane. I don't like that match for WrestleMania. Bruce, I think if you go Triple H and Reigns at WrestleMania, you run the risk of those hardcore fans cheering for Triple H's because he's the one that's bought them their NXT. Remember, Triple H is the god of NXT.
Yeah.
We don't want to boo him. So
If NXT has really worked, that would be true. I still think that they would see. I think they'd see them both as corporate wrestlers. But yeah, that's interesting. And really, Fastlane is supposed to be something big this year. You know, they want Fastlane to be big, so maybe it is that Roman Reigns versus Triple H, and Reigns has to get past Triple H or beat him or something. I love the idea of having an extra guy in the role. I mean, as long as you go do the authority nonsense, I mean, of having a 31st entrant and everybody going, there's not supposed to be another guy. Wait a minute, it's Triple H, and him coming down and ruining the showdown between Lesnar and Reigns. That's kind of fun. I don't know why exactly, but that kind of appeals to me.
See, the match I'd like to see with Triple H is, if you say you go with Reigns and Triple H at Fastlane, a guy who I think is the perfect opponent for Triple H, and if he was to put the authorities' power on the line, I think Dean Ambrose. I like Dean Ambrose. I think that style-wise, I don't like the match of Roman Reigns versus Triple H. There's something that's a bit of disconnect, but Ambrose is that underdog that fights from underneath. I think he's the type of guy that the crowd would really get behind, and if it's Ambrose and Triple H, if Triple H is trying to screw Roman Reigns at Fastlane and all these guys come out, and Ambrose screws everything up, can go with Triple H and Ambrose at WrestleMania and have a big stipulation on the line. What do you think of that?
You know, I kind of like it for the reasons that you're talking about. I just don't think they see – only Triple H sees Dean Ambrose as someone that he would be in the ring with at a WrestleMania. I think it'd be a good idea. But, I don't know. I don't think that's a big possibility. Dean Ambrose is slotted.
Did you know Paul Heyman right at the end when he was talking to Chris Jericho? And Paul Heyman doesn't do anything by accident. You notice when Paul Heyman was cutting the promo and he was talking about, you know, Brock Lesnar versus Alberto Del Rio would draw versus Chris Jericho. He was going through all the names. When he got to Dean Ambrose's name, he actually paused and said, Brock Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose. Just the way that he said his name above anyone else's, I thought was very interesting. I don't know if he had to do that because of cadence, but it just struck me because he doesn't do anything by accident.
Well, I think also Paul knows that Dean Ambrose carries some respect among fans he wants to connect with. But, yeah, I think there's a little something to that. But he was, you know, that was interesting. I like the idea. I mean, I don't know. It's like, you know, I don't know. What's best for business? And then here's this guy going, here are the matches that will draw my guy versus these guys.
Wait a second, Bruce, Jason.
Yes.
How have we gone, you know, 66 minutes, and we haven't even brought up we brought up the other two, but not the third odds-on favorite to win the Rumble, Chris Jericho. I mean, we just brought him up just now, but how is it, you know, anybody else guffaw?
Because even Chris Jericho knew better. You know, I mean, that was, he really, when you look at it and you go star quality or whatever, I mean, Chris Jericho could make that case. Or experience and all that kind of stuff where you are in the wrestling business, but no one bought it. He's not, you know.
No one.
And, you know, guys, I don't really like the idea of anyone really debuting at the Royal Rumble unless they're going to win. Finn Balor, I think the first time you see him, you really want to see that entrance. I don't think the Royal Rumble showcases that. You know what I like to see with Balor, though, and with Styles and the Bullet Club, I think the perfect matchup for Baylor would be against the White family, right? And he interrupts Bray Wyatt, and he challenges him to a match at Fastlane or WrestleMania, and he says, you know what? You bring your family, and I'll bring mine. And what a way to have people build up to the debut of Styles, Gallows, and Anderson, where they're talking about them. I think if you introduce them fresh, some people are going to be like, I love these guys. But you really want to keep that anticipation flowing. I think it'd be a good way, you know, maybe like 4-on-4, Baylor Club versus White family.
It's a possibility. I mean, I think Wyatt's, you know, we'll see Sunday night, but I think, you know, I think that Brock Lesnar and Bray Wyatt, the Brock Lesnar and the Wyatt family is in play. But yeah, that might be interesting if you're going to do gang warfare or factions, to be more, you know, to use the wrestling word. That's there. I'll believe the Balor Club when I see it, though. I mean, that would be fun. But I mean, I'll just believe it when I see it. And very, you know, it's a possibility. They did trademark that name, and they did put some hints out for it. They've kind of backed up. We haven't seen anything in it in the last week, so that could mean that they're getting ready to do it. That could mean that they kind of backed away from it. That could mean nothing. So we'll see where all
Bruce,
that goes.
What you have to remember with JR, sorry, on another point, I think he got the okay by WWE to do this announcing for New Japan because he needs WWE shop to sell his products. And I'm sure he would have gone to them firsthand just to see whatever relationship he's doing with any other wrestling business because he needs that. And I think it's important
to
note.
Well, he does. I don't know that he needs to. I think it's more subtle than that. I don't think he goes and directly ask for permission to do anything. And so I think, yeah, I mean, but that is interesting, and that is one way that they could pull back if they needed there. So, yeah, I don't know. He may have subtly asked if there's any real problem with this and found out that there wasn't. I mean, I would guess him being Jim Ross is one of the things that he did was I'm negotiating with it then and made sure they knew so that if they wanted to they want to come back with a counter offer, WWE come back with a counter offer, they would, and that's how you play the game. So
that'd be very smart. That'd be very smart for him to do.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm sure he knows that. So done it before. So anyway, Jason, appreciate the call. Appreciate all the callers. And Royal Rumble, don't forget to listen to 11:30, the call-in show. And then for VIP members, Todd Martin and I and Wade Keller will have a roundtable that we record directly after the Rumble is over and be available probably by midnight, close to midnight Eastern Standard Time for everybody. Travis, be safe. Jason, enjoy your good weather. Enjoy the summertime. And we'll talk to everybody soon.